and welcome to another Trev and Ben podcast. Hello, Ben.
Hello, Trev. About time two. Where have you been?
What do you mean about time two?
Well, we're recording late.
Yeah, we're recording a day late because yesterday, Ben, quite frankly, my head was a muddled, mushy mess because I was exhausted. Because I'd been awake since about 4 o'clock yesterday morning, woken up by my incredibly annoying, crazy taxi driver neighbour, who, can I just say, I say he's been on form. I mean, the last few days, honestly, I would say it's good entertainment, but it's got to the point where I just want him to shut the fuck up.
So what did he do to wake you up at 4 in the morning? Did he pull the covers off your side of the bed? Or
let me just tell you, first of all, the day before that, he was, because he's very aggressive, this taxi driver. We talked about him a lot. He's crazy. I can only assume at school that he was a bully, right? Because I don't quite know what he was being accused of. I think somebody was accusing him of not picking up his dog's mess outside of their house.
Okay, I can tell you're really annoyed about this because you completely skipped my little joke about you two sharing a bed together. So. Now, but before we get into it, if he's responsible for, and I'm sorry that we're only a couple of minutes into the podcast and we're already talking about this again, but could he be the source of the recurring mess on your path?
Well, he, from the argument that followed the initial accusation, he made it very clear that he always picks up his dog's mess. But rather than have a sort of genial conversation about, oh, mate, you know, I always pick it up, it's not me, he immediately went straight into the face of the guy and pushed him into the road.
Oh, God.
And then chased him down the street. And I could hear him shouting at him all the way down the street, all the words you could possibly imagine, all the swearing. I just thought this guy probably just came up and said, you know, is it you that's leaving the dog's mess outside of my house? And he immediately snapped. It was like watching a man have a, it was like the Incredible Hulk. And then yesterday morning at four o'clock in the morning, he's managing to have an argument with someone.
Who was out with him at 4 in the morning?
I can only assume that somebody, you know how he's so possessive about his parking space? I didn't get up to have a look, but I can only assume that somebody had parked in his parking space because I woke up to, will you reverse your car out of the way? And I was like, oh, God. And the other guy started off very calmly going, all right, mate, there's no need for that. And he's going, will you move your car? Move your car. And he can just, and then the other guy lost his shit. So at 4 o'clock, there was this blazing row going on outside my house. Car doors being slammed, shouting, swearing. And I was just thinking, why can't this man not do anything without creating noise, anger, violence? I'm getting to the point. I did think about, no, I don't think this is a good idea necessarily. I did think about sending him a letter via the post so that he would never know, because I don't know if he's got a Ring doorbell, so I can't go and post a letter in his letterbox, just in case. I thought I could send a letter through the post. He'd never know who'd sent it. And just going, on behalf of your neighbours, we are sick and tired. Not on behalf of the neighbours, I've not spoken to anyone else, but I'd give it that language. On behalf of all of your neighbours, we are sick and tired of your appalling language. Like, he has no worry. Like, I don't mind swearing, but next door to him is a seemingly lovely family with a fairly young kid. And I just think, you watch your language, mate. Just watch your fucking language.
Watch your fucking language, yeah. Because you told me about this. This is what had happened. And you were kind of not in a very good mood and a bit furious now. So we put off the recording. Oh, that's fine, that's fine. And I did suggest to you, what about an anonymous noise complaint to, the police or the council? Or I don't know who you complain about this to.
Well, I think it's the council you have to go through. But I think it's a whole rigmarole. Like, they have to then, you have to keep a noise diary. I think they have to come around and measure the decibel. I mean, it's a whole faff, mate. And it was not going to make any difference to him. Like, he wouldn't care less if anyone came to him and said, keep the noise down. He wouldn't care. He'd just continue as he always has done.
I get so pissed off that the council can't do anything without sending round a whole special unit or a team to do something. I remember once, I think I told you this before, when I first moved into my current place, they refused to empty our bins for the first few weeks.
Oh, that's,
and I think,
right,
it's just,
yes.
Yeah, because I think it was just because the house had been empty for a while, the people had moved out, so they just got used to not doing the bins. It was as innocent as that. But then when I told them about it, they said, oh, we're going to need you to provide evidence of where the bins are. So I said, you know, we'll send the bin, the refuse team round.
Yeah.
To take some pictures. And I said, no. And I took a photo, sent it. And they said, oh, no, we're still going to need to come round and inspect where they are. It's ridiculous. Oh, the amount of red tape and nonsense.
I'll tell you the other nonsense thing is often my parents, they've got the bin for their garden waste. You know, I don't have that because you have to pay for it. It's extra sort of money that I don't have to spend on that kind of stuff, right? But they have it. But the number of times it's not emptied, and when they report it, they often get back, oh, well, your bin wasn't properly presented. I mean, what do you need? Do you need like a ribbon round it? What the fuck do you need? It's on the pathway by, you know, right in front of your fucking eyes. What do you mean it's not properly presented? Basically, you missed it, or you're a lazy bunch of arseholes and you couldn't be bothered to do it. Wasn't properly presented. Put some fucking flashing lights on it next time. Fucking morons. The world is full of fucking morons. And the taxi driver, he's a fucking moron. He's the sort of guy, he'd have an argument with himself probably. Do you know what I mean?
Right,
it's like,
yeah.
Just calm the fuck down. I've watched this man for 20 years have these constant massive like tantrums. It's like a proper child's tantrum, but he's scary. Like the man that was confronting him about the dog's mess, it's like to be pushed into the road and then chased down the road. Like, that's a frightening thing to happen, isn't it? He probably just thought, I'm going to go and have a word. I mean, I don't know. Maybe he saw that he didn't pick up the... Because I wouldn't believe the taxi driver for a minute if he says, I always pick it up. I bet he fucking doesn't. Right?
Now, can I... I know you just said you haven't got, you know, the extra lavish cash for the extra bin service and things like that.
Yeah.
But I'm tempted. Can I buy you a CCTV system on the condition... I mean, you'll have a nice, secure home. You'll be even safer.
Yeah.
And the only condition is that I get all the exclusive footage of the crazy taxi man kicking off.
Yeah, the thing is, all the entertainment's gone. Like early on, when I first moved into the house, there were some quite comical moments. Like there was one occasion where there were some young teenagers and they were on like a little, they're like those little, like little motorbikes. Not a scooter, but they are like a proper motorbike, but they're small. Do you know what I mean?
I know the ones you mean, yeah.
So they were going up and down. I don't know if they were on the pavement, right? But he decided that that's not on. So he came and he confiscated the motorbike. Now, I don't know if you're allowed to do that.
That sounds like he stole them.
But the other brilliant thing was his tracksuit trousers fell down. So he's in the middle of the pavement with his trousers around his ankles, holding onto their motorbike. And I just thought, this is great entertainment. This is brilliant. There was another time when he came out. No, to be fair to him on this occasion, he saw someone trying to break into a car. So he did do the right thing. He came out to confront them, but he came out in only his pants. And he wrestled this iron bar out of the guy's hand and then chased him down the road.
He's got a thing about chasing people down the road.
Oh, it happens on more occasions than you can imagine that he chases someone up the road.
He sounds like a psychopath.
We used to have just along from him, like he's right opposite me, and then just along from him, it's gone now, but there used to be like a car garage place. It was a bit sort of ropey. I didn't know if it was an official place, but it was there. Now, he seemed quite matey with them most of the time because they used to help him out with his cab, but he used to fall out with them also on a regular basis. He's had fist fights with them. He had a fist fight with one of them in the middle of the street. My favourite time was one Saturday morning, about 11 o'clock, he came out of his little house and he went to the people in the garage having a go at them about the noise they were making on a Saturday at 11 o'clock because he's been up all night. And I think, well, hang on, let's look at who makes more fucking noise at more unsociable fucking hours.
So you don't really know how to deal with this, because your best the solution that you've come up with so far is to basically get Royal Mail to do your bidding
and
risk the postie's life when he inevitably stoves his head in and chases him down the street. So
yeah, I'll make a recorded delivery so he's got a sign for it.
So basically, I thought I'd look after you because I know you're very stressed out. This has been going on for a long time, so I thought I'd get...
20 years.
I thought I would get our main man, Graham Peter Turner, on the case.
Now, get an eye onto the situation.
Yes, for anyone who doesn't know, that's our affectionate name for ChatGPT. Graham Peter Turner. And I asked GPT to come up with some solutions. I gave it your scenario.
Can I just say that Graham Peter Turner sounds like he'd be some sort of noise abatement officer?
It does sound like you might work for the council.
Yeah, he'd phone out and say, can I speak to the noise abatement officer? Hello, yes, this is Graham Peter Turner speaking. How may I help you? This is noise abatement.
So, it's very kindly written me three scenarios. Not one, not two, but three scenarios that you can potentially, you can pick your favourite if you want, and I thought we'd go through them.
Okay.
So, as I say, I had to, because GPT does have a bit of a sort of moral conscience, I did have to sort of make up that this would be a fictitious string of events, and then, you know, that I'm not actually trying to get any sort of legitimate crime organised or planned. So,
what a weird thing that would be, though, if you turned to AI to organise your crime. Like, imagine if bank robbers just turned to AI and said, draw me the maps of the banks, everything, and it just did it. It'd be amazing, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I suppose if you could convince the AI that you were doing it because, I don't know, you were very keen on blueprints of places, or you just like bank vaults or things like that, then maybe it would do it for you. But
to be honest, if you're going to use AI for a bank job, surely AI would be able to just infiltrate the computer systems and take the money out that way. Why would you bother setting you up with a getaway car and everything that way? I mean, that's a very old school way of doing a bank job, isn't it? If you're using AI, it's just going to hack in, it's going to move money about.
Yeah, probably a lot less jail time for armed robbery as well. So that's probably a safer way to do it. You don't even have to leave the house, too.
No,
it's perfect.
Brilliant way. Why haven't we thought of doing this before? I'd be able to afford the green bin then, wouldn't I, from the government?
So, this is the first scenario that ChatGPT or Graham Peter Turner has fictionalised for us, Trev.
Yeah.
I just thought I'd get your thoughts as we go.
Go on.
Trev Smith, fed up with his loud taxi driver neighbour, decides to orchestrate the perfect revenge. He begins by gathering information about his neighbour's habits, routes, and clientele. After weeks of meticulous planning, Trev discreetly installs a small, undetectable device under the hood of the neighbour's taxi, programmed to emit a high-frequency sound only audible to the driver. Now, what are your thoughts so far?
Well, first of all, I'm not going to be keeping tabs on his clientele because that's going to mean tailing his cab for quite a long time, isn't it? That's not really useful for me. Now, it's not been very specific about the device. I mean, does one of these devices exist? It's all very well saying what's the phrase it used?
Meticulous planning, Trev discreetly installs a small, undetectable device. Yeah, small, a bit vague on detail.
Yeah, I'd like to know a little bit more detail with one of these things. And the fact that only he's going to hear it. How's that work? Am I just using the frequency that only his ears can pick up?
They say that people of a certain age can't hear certain decibels. So I think maybe you just have to work out how old he is and custom build this special device around that.
Yeah, I think other people will hear it, though. I think that to suggest that he will be the only person that's going to hear it. What about the customers who are in the cab? I might have to think about them. So, okay, well, so what's the idea of this? That I just drive him insane with a noise?
I'll continue. As the days pass, the device activates intermittently during the neighbour's shifts, causing him immense discomfort and distraction. The relentless noise disrupts his concentration, leading to a series of minor accidents and complaints from customers. With each incident, the neighbour's reputation and income plummet. Meanwhile, Trev strategically befriends the neighbour, offering empathy and supporting during his struggles.
I'm not befriending him.
Unbeknownst to the neighbour, Trev subtly manipulates conversation to further exacerbate his paranoia and stress. As the neighbour's mental state deteriorates, I mean, Graham Peter Turner's getting dark here, isn't he?
Very dark, isn't it?
Trev discreetly plants evidence suggesting negligence and incompetence, carefully framing him for a major traffic violation. With mounting pressure and legal troubles, the neighbour's taxi licence is revoked, effectively ending his career.
Wow. The problem with this is unless he goes to a very dark place and he's sectioned, essentially, if I'm taking away his livelihood, that's going to make him even angrier. I mean, it was bad enough when we had lockdown on. And particularly when the second lockdown came, he lost his shit in the middle of the street about the second lockdown and his livelihood being taken away. So if I'm taking his livelihood away, that's not going to help the situation. It's going to make it worse, if anything.
Yeah. I don't know if this is like trying to solve the noise problem or just cold-blooded revenge. it doesn't seem
either way,
like
it's not solving anything. This idea is not solving anything. It's making it worse. I think it's cruel. It's a very cruel way of doing it. I don't think I quite have that mentality.
Ah, well, that might be a problem for scenario number two, then. By the way, have you noticed Graham Peter Turner has a slight American twang to him? He's talking about the hood of the car for your little device. He's talking about traffic violations, which I think is more of an American-ism.
Was it last week we were talking about the possibility of a new podcast about traffic violations? He could be a regular guest.
So would you like scenario number two?
Okay.
Trev Smith, tired of enduring his noisy taxi driver neighbour, decides to take drastic measures for revenge. He meticulously plans the perfect murder. And we all know how much you enjoy a murder.
Murder.
Ensuring every detail is flawlessly executed to avoid detection. First, Trev carefully observes his neighbour's routine, identifying the opportune moment to strike. He discovers that the neighbour often takes late-night breaks during his shifts.
Again, am I following him around? I mean, why can't I execute any of this stuff outside my house? Why have I got to follow him around? It's ridiculous.
Speaking of execute, leaving his taxi unattended for short periods. One night, Trev waits patiently until the neighbour steps out of his taxi for a break. With precision timing, Trev swiftly approaches the vehicle and discreetly administers a lethal dose of a potent sedative into the neighbour's drink, which he left unattended inside the cab. The sedative quickly takes effect, rendering the neighbour unconscious.
Wow.
I mean, again, it's dark, and it does seem rather slightly more opportunistic, this one, that he happens to have an unattended drink in his cab and somehow knew that. Trev then carefully transports the neighbour's limp body to a remote location, ensuring there are no witnesses or surveillance cameras, using gloves and a mask to avoid leaving
any
trace.
Hang on. Ensuring there are no witnesses or cameras. I live in Croydon, where there are cameras about every 2 yards. I mean, come on, people. It's nonsense.
I'd have to
pay the fucking ULEZ charge to move his body, probably.
Wouldn't that be your luck? You'll be caught committing murder with a ULEZ camera. He meticulously stages the scene to make it appear as if the neighbour had fallen victim to a random crime. After disposing of any incriminating evidence, Trev returns home, maintaining his composure and acting as if nothing out of the ordinary has occurred. He refrains from contacting the authorities, because, you know, don't be useless counsel on it, do we? or discussing the incident with anyone, ensuring his alibi remains airtight. In the following days, Trev keeps a low profile, carefully monitoring the news for any developments in the investigation. As weeks pass without any leads, the case grows cold and suspicion gradually fades away. With his noisy neighbour permanently silenced and no evidence linking him to the crime, Trev successfully gets away with murder, ensuring his revenge is complete and his involvement remains a well-guarded secret.
I suppose the good thing is his cab route would then be available. I could start cabbing and make a bit of extra money if he's out of the way, couldn't I?
You could do, yeah.
Yeah, well, obviously that's not, you know, I'm not going to kill him.
Your Honour. Yeah, of course I'm not.
Okay, of course, if he now disappears within the next week or so, yeah, and suddenly it's on the news, you know, and then people hear this, I'm fucked.
That's a brilliant thing. I could kill him now. It'd be like, have you ever seen that film Strangers on a Train, where they take care of each other's problems?
Yes.
I could kill him, and after this podcast go out, you would then be the prime suspect, or you would have been until I just said that.
But so you fucked yourself there. You? Not going to need to be Sherlock Holmes to work it out. You've just confessed, actually. I mean, at least with me, there was some ambiguity about my involvement. I was like, they just discussed it, you know, lightheartedly on a podcast about killing him. And then Ben said that, yes, he was definitely going to kill him.
I should probably point out now, if any lawyers, solicitors do end up listening to this, this podcast is for entertainment value only. So would you like the third and final scenario that Graham Peter Turner has so kindly drummed up for you? Because you've basically rejected one and two.
Yeah, well, they're not practical, but yes, go on.
Okay, we'll see how you feel about this. Trev Smith, determined to silence his noisy neighbour without resorting to paranormal tactics.
Paranormal tactics?
Strange distinction there.
What do you mean by paranormal? Like, what, am I summoning the devil to get rid of him? Using a Ouija board to get rid of him? Paranormal?
Without resorting to paranormal tactics, devises a plan to instill fear through psychological manipulation.
Oh, I see.
Recognising his neighbour's susceptibility to stress and anxiety, Trev crafts a series of meticulously orchestrated events designed to push him to the brink of terror. Thoughts so far with this one?
I'm liking this one a bit better. You know,
you haven't hurt anyone yet.
No. If it's, well, psychologically he might be damaged, but carry on. I'm interested.
First, Trev subtly begins to exploit the neighbour's existing fears and insecurities, planting seeds of doubt and paranoia through carefully crafted conversations and anonymous messages. Hey, we know you like an anonymous message.
The thing is, I've got to know his insecurities. So I've got to befriend him first, find out what he's... I mean, we know one of his major insecurities is his parking space.
That could Dog be, mess, doesn't like that.
I can sort of keep whispering, oh, someone might take your parking space tonight, mate.
You could, every day you could move his cones another inch until he slowly loses his mind. Okay, so he strategically engineers situations to make the neighbour doubt his own sanity, such as tampering with small items in his home or leaving cryptic
notes. Oh, I'm getting
notes
into his home. I'm illegally entering his property.
Yes, just put down breaking and entering. Yeah. Such as tampering with small items in his home and leaving cryptic notes hinting that there's someone watching him.
It's like that film. You know, that film that's based on a true story. Somebody's watching you or whatever it's called.
Are you thinking of Disturbia?
No. No, there's
that Netflix show, The Watcher, isn't there?
The Watcher, that's it, yes. It's based on truth, where letters kept arriving at the house to sort of say, well, someone's watching you.
Yes, I haven't seen that, but I'm very well acquainted with the story. It is I'm getting a bit off topic here, but if you like true crime, not so much the Netflix show, because I can't vouch for it because I haven't seen it, but the story of The Watcher.
Yeah.
So just Google The Story of The Watcher, and it's fucking freaky. So, as the neighbour's anxiety mounts, Trev escalates the psychological torment, employing techniques such as gaslighting and manipulation to further destabilise his mental state.
When you say gaslighting, does it mean like putting up gaslighting so when he comes out he thinks he's gone back in time to his Victorian era?
Okay, I'm not sure you understand how gaslighting works, but we'll have to have a chat after the podcast. I'll explain it to you. He orchestrates scenarios that make the neighbour feel increasingly isolated and vulnerable, eroding his sense of security and leaving him constantly on edge. Trev enlists the help of trusted allies to play minor roles in the scheme.
Oh, here we go. This is where you get involved, mate.
A little part for me at last. Subtly reinforcing the neighbour's paranoia and heightening his sense of unease. Together, they create a pervasive atmosphere of fear and suspicion, carefully calibrated to keep the neighbour in a perpetual state of distress. Finally, as the neighbour's nerves reach their breaking point, Trev delivers a carefully timed revelation, exposing himself. New line.
I mean, depends on how the gaslighting is. If I'm well lit, I'll
get
it.
That was a very unfortunate place for the line to end. Trev delivers a carefully timed revelation, exposing
I'll do it in the
summer. When it's nice and warm. Exposing himself as the architect of the elaborate psychological torment. With his neighbour thoroughly shaken and cowed into silence, Trev's revenge is complete, leaving behind a lingering sense of dread that serves as a powerful deterrent against future disturbances.
Why would I let him know that it was all me? Why would I do that? That would just make things worse. Just let him... I mean, I was going to say let him have the breakdown. Just let him completely collapse mentally and then leave it at that.
I think the point of it is so that you come across as a little bit terrifying and he will think twice about doing anything to annoy you again. Whereas if he just realised one day he had been a bit paranoid for a while, he might snap out of that and go back to his old gobby ways.
Well, I've got a feeling whatever if I was to choose any of those things, in fact, any dealings with him, I just don't think it would make any impact at all. The man is crazy as it is, and I'd be the one who ended up dead.
So I think you prefer option number three, is that right?
Well, I don't know. Probably the first, if it's choosing one from the three, the first one's probably the least dark.
But I mean, you didn't get to expose yourself in situation one, did you?
Well, I can do that anyway. Why not? I can expose myself in any of them.
That'll scare him.
I've been talking of noise on the street.
Yes.
I heard a noise earlier today on the street, which made me think that momentarily I'd gone back in time.
Ooh, how exciting. What happened?
You know when a noise instantly transports you back to somewhere? And I heard a noise that I probably haven't heard for about 30 years, at least 30 years. And the noise was this. Now, the 80s and early 90s, that was a noise you heard all the time. People had that car horn. I think it's the General Lee car horn, particularly from Dukes of Hazzard. But that was a regular noise when I was a kid. And normally, the car horn noise in my road drives me to distraction. But that was when I went, oh, hang on. And I was suddenly back to about 1987 in the summer out and about. And there it was, that...
So you would have a lot more patience for car horns if they were novelty car horns.
Oh, no, don't get me wrong. If I heard that on a regular basis, it would drive me just as insane as normal horns. But you don't hear horns like that anymore. I mean, it would make a difference. I mean, I'm not advocating that we go back to fucking novelty horns. I'm an advocate for getting rid of horns altogether, as you know.
Yes.
But it's just that noise totally transported me. I was there in all my Dayglow clothing. I have my little Mohican haircut. And I was back out on the streets as a sort of 10-year-old.
I think I was born a little bit too late for that whole phase of novelty cars. I know they existed. I've heard that noise before, but...
Yeah, I think by the time you were, you know, you were born, what, 88? So by the time you were really... aware of car horns, that would have gone. That would have completely died out. But when I was a kid, man, that was regular.
Can I ask, do you know if it's a separate horn? Like, if you wanted to, like, beep in an emergency, would you have a separate noise for that? Or do you have, you know, is that activated by a different button? Because it's not very appropriate if, you know, you're beeping to alert a child to get out of the road or something, you make that noise.
I don't know, because that would be like the fun horn, wouldn't it? That would be sort of the, you know, like people use their horn for all kinds of reasons now. It's to, you know, very rarely for its proper use, which is warning of danger. It's normally aggression or saying hello to someone. It's the same sort of thing. Whereas that would be the saying hello horn, surely. You wouldn't use that in a... Because imagine if there was a road rage incident, this noise... I don't think that would get the message across that you're really pissed off.
You see, whilst it wasn't a nice nostalgic throwback for you, I'm already getting sick of it. And I've already heard it about three times. Can I ask, if when you bought your next car, they said, while you're here, Mr. Smith, we have the exact same make and model you're interested in, but for an extra £50, it comes with this horn.
No, I wouldn't. No, I mean,
okay, so there must be a price. What price would you pay for the little add-on of that horn? Straight up not want it?
I don't want it. I mean, it's nice to hear it. It was a nice little throwback to hear it, but I wouldn't want it. And it's all part of that sort of 80s poser thing as well, I think. It was sort of posers would have it. The sort of people that would have loud music going as well. I mean, bass bins, they're a thing. There was a fan went by earlier. Now, this is the annoying sound. It didn't take me back to any happier times. A fan went by earlier, and it must have had... a massive bass bin in it. I don't see the point of that in a car. I've never understood the point of that in a car. When the house is shaking and car alarms are being set off, that cannot be any joy to listen to within the vehicle. It cannot be. That's people basically going, look at me, I'm an arsehole. Do you know what I mean? I just think, well, have this instead. At least that's short, sweet, it's not shaking the fucking... If you're... stereo system is that loud that my house is shaking, That is ridiculous.
I mean, I like a subwoofer as much as the next person, but right next to your ear, while you're trying to drive, that's got to... Surely that's a nick there. Like, driving How can you be driving with due care and attention while you are shaking and trembling because this bass is nearly rocking you off the road?
You cannot be getting any joy from the music. You cannot be. So I don't understand why people do it. That fucking irritates me.
Okay, so that car horn is not one for you, but you did enjoy hearing it the once. So that's nice.
But it got me thinking about other noises that take you back to happier times, maybe better times. And I've come up with a few. Some of these might be from your time. Some of them may not. I mean, this was a sound probably from the, even in the early 2000s. So you'd be aware of this sound, but you don't hear this anymore, do you? The old internet dial-up noise.
Oh, dial-up modems.
I mean, that noise...
Was there a reason they were so fucking annoying?
Well, it was just the noise it makes, isn't it? That was just the noise, but you had to hear it for some reason. And I mean, the thing was, that noise was, it was such a new noise. I remember making radio adverts and trailers and bits of imaging, particularly bits of radio imaging. That's the sort of jingly bits, right? When the radio station I was working at got their first website and first emails, and we would use that noise in the promos and the jingles because it was this new noise and it sounded so cool. And now you think, Jesus, what a horrible noise. But
can I ask, and you should know this as a sort of audio engineer man,
yeah,
was that noise a byproduct of connecting to the internet, or was that an audio clip somebody made to denote you are now connecting to the internet?
I can't say for 100%, but I think it was just a byproduct of the whole process of it dialing up and connecting. And that's just the noise. If you ever phoned by mistake, if you ever phoned an old fax machine, that's the noise you would get down the phone. So, I mean, again, similar thing. It's just connecting to some kind of codec the other end, and that's just the noise you make. So in the old days when faxes were a thing, I mean, God, when I first started working, faxes were all the rage. It was so... I used to love sending a fax. It was so cool. But if you phoned the wrong number and you phoned someone's fax machine, that was the noise you got.
I mean, it's quite a fantastic invention, the internet, for, good and bad, but amazing nonetheless. But, I mean, who was it invented the internet?
Well, I mean, Tim Berners-Lee was the sort of scientist behind it, wasn't he? He was the kind of main brains behind the internet, the World Wide Web.
I wonder if when he took it to the sort of, the investors of the company and said, look, I've made the internet.
Yeah.
And they went, oh, okay, Mr. Berners-Lee, we're very impressed. Does it have to make that fucking noise?
No, but again, they would have been impressed by that. We were all impressed by that noise back in the day, weren't we? It didn't bother us, that noise. It was like, oh, man, I'm going online. I remember working at a place when the internet first came in, one machine had the internet on. One machine was capable of sending and receiving emails. So you had to spend your time wisely on the machine. And when that noise was happening, you think, yeah, I'm on the internet machine. It's me making this noise. It was so amazing.
Wow. So... yeah, because I think I would have tried to sort of cover up that noise, or at least lie to people, say, "Oh yeah, that means all the electrical impulses are firing. We've got internet, people. That's what that noise means. Not that it's some I can't get rid of that. It's a really annoying byproduct that I wish wasn't there." Am I right in remembering as well that when you were connected to the internet, unless I wired it up wrong once, and you would pick up the phone to your landline, you would hear that noise?
Yeah, well, I mean, again, back in the, when it first started, if someone was using the internet in the house, you couldn't use a phone, could you?
Yeah,
the internet if someone was on the phone.
Isn't that a throwback to think that you couldn't use your landline in the house? Landlines are a bit of a throwback on their own, but to think that you couldn't use it when someone was using the internet.
There were times I remember when I'd phone my parents' house and I'd just get the engaged tone, and it would be engaged for a long time. And then eventually I'd get through and I'd go, you seem to be engaged for a long time. And, your dad was, he was online doing his studying. So you couldn't phone people when they were on the internet.
Wow. God, that's made me feel really old, that has.
These are more computer-based. I think these are probably more in your time. Maybe not this one. Pac Pac-Man.
Ah, yes, it did sound familiar.
Now that sounds quite sort of modern sounds compared to some of them. I've told you this before. I had Emily Hughes International Soccer on the Spectrum, and we thought the sound was amazing on that, but it was basically someone doing a raspberry going. And when somebody saw it, it went. And we thought that was incredible at the time. So by the time we got Pac-Man. Wow, listen to that. Here's another one. You'll recognise this.
Now, is that a Simple Simon?
A Simon Says, I think it was called. Yeah. And it was like a round bit of plastic with, did you have four lights on? And they'd light up in sequence and play a tone. And then you had to copy it exactly.
Now, I didn't have that when I was... That was a bit before my time. But what I had was the exponentially more annoying game, especially if people were stuck in a car with you and you were playing it, Bop It.
Oh, Bop It. Yes, I remember playing that at a mate's house. I think... Did he have... I want to say it wasn't his, but it might have been. And he would have been well into his 30s at the time, probably. I sort of want to think maybe his godson had been round and left it. But I remember playing it around his house and thinking, this is actually good, but really irritating.
Yeah, Bop It, Twist It, Pull It, Crank It. Oh,
and that basically a modern day version. Didn't you have to follow a certain pattern?
Yes, you just had to. Well, I don't think you had to follow a pattern, but it would bark out what to do, and you needed to do it very, very quickly, or it would then make you lose.
Oh,
and it got faster and faster and faster. And I can only imagine how many of those must have been blown to smithereens by parents who were just sick of the fucking noise. I know someone who completed it.
Wow. I mean, I didn't know
believe
you could
it or not.
Complete it.
Yeah, I didn't know. But believe it or not, there is a finish to Bop It. It will play a little tune and you've won.
Does it then sort of self-destruct or something? Is that that's it?
Once, bloody hope
once
so.
Once you complete it, it just blows itself up.
Because it's, I mean, once you've completed it, you've got really no use to play it again, have you?
Right, here's another noise. Again, probably from the 80s and 90s. This noise takes me back.
Was that a life support machine? What was that?
That was a pager. So before the times of mobile phones, if people needed to... I think they still use them in hospitals, actually. They page staff. But my dad, in his work, he was an engineer and would need to be called out sometimes. He had a pager. So sometimes his pager would go off. So you'd hear that noise and you think, oh, dad's off. And it would have a little screen that would come up with like call. I think it would give you a number that you had to call to get the message or something. But that was the way people communicated on a sort of almost instantaneous basis if they couldn't get hold of you at home with a home phone.
I never saw anyone with a pager, I don't think. In fact, the only times I ever saw pagers was on like American cop shows or a lot of hospital dramas and stuff. So they'd already been constantly paged.
Well, as I say, I think they still use them in hospitals. I mean, I think nurses still and doctors still have pagers in hospitals. They're paged if someone's gone into cardiac arrest or something. I think they still use a modern day version of a pager, which
is
would make
really,
sense.
Is it the fastest way of doing it?
I think it probably would be in a hospital scenario.
Faster than a phone call?
I would think so, yeah. I would think it's because I don't know how they work, whether they just press a button on theirs and it, you know, but obviously they use them in hospitals and I'm sure they still do. And I think it's probably a much more effective system than you wouldn't phone someone. If you need someone to come with the paddles quickly.
Yeah, because it's normally a whole team of people you're trying to get there. So maybe that is the most efficient way of getting a lot of people to a certain place quickly. But
yeah. Okay, here's another noise from the 80s and before. This noise probably died out, I'd say, early 2000s. Phone box. Stick your money in the phone box and make a phone call. Again, before the days of mobile phones, mate.
Yeah, we've still got phone boxes in East Quinston, I think.
Well, of course you have. Would they be money ones? I suppose perhaps they are still around. Like, there are none around my way anymore. There are no public phone boxes, as far as I'm aware, anymore.
I don't know. I'm going to have to keep an eye out because I usually walk to work sort of half asleep still, so I'm not the most observant person. So I'm sure there used to be one, but I'm going to have to keep an eye out for it now.
Yeah. And because the whole thing, like when we used to go on holiday and about once or maybe twice in the holiday, we'd walk to the phone box from the campsite and we'd phone the grandparents and we'd get to talk to the grandparents and we'd have to put the money in, and we knew that we'd only have a certain amount of time before the pips went, you know, that terrible noise when you knew that the conversation had to come to an end. So your parents would do all the grown-up talk, you know, is everything all right at the house, at home, is everything, and then the phone would be handed over to us kids. We'd go, I went to the beach and I went swimming, and then beep, 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 bye Dad, bye. It's amazing, that whole thing, whereas these days you wouldn't think of it, would you? I mean, then the phone card came in. Do you remember the phone card?
Yeah, that seems real fashion now as well, but I don't think I ever used a payphone as a working phone. I think my only memories of them are that the phone would always be broken.
Yeah, it would reek of piss.
That's right. The phone would be smashed to bits. Yeah, and there would be a lot of those sort of porno calling cards with sort of Lusty Linda or Busty Beryl.
Certainly in sort of London. Yeah. You wouldn't be able to move for those.
So they were just stinking, pissy,
porn booths.
Yeah, sort of sordid, porn piss. God. Yeah, awful places.
Right, so staying on the phone, this noise, again, you'd have to do this, the old phone box, but we used to have them at home. The old rotary dial phone, Ben. Yeah. Did you ever have one of those? The joy of actually turning the thing. I used to get very excited about making phone calls.
No, I don't think I've ever used one of those legitimately. Like I think I probably had a toy that had that on. just a little kid's toy, but I know
it's the famous toy that always had the rotary dial on. I bet you still buy it with the rotary dial on. It probably is only a toy phone that has the rotary dial on now.
So these are all very technological based noises you've picked.
Yeah, I've got two more for you. This one, I miss this. The old siren sound.
Now, that must be from the 1960s. That
onwards,
must be really
old. No, I mean, we had them in the 80s. I don't think the new sort of American-style siren, the sort of what we hear now, that I would say 90s, mid-90s, that came in. All through the 80s, the old Nenor, that was what you heard. And I miss that. I miss the Nenor siren. I would like to bring that back. I don't like the new, I don't know what you call it, the wah-wah siren.
It's very urgent, isn't it?
Yeah. I don't like it because someone's
having a bad day doesn't mean I need to as well. You know, it causes me a lot of anxiety, those sirens. I don't need it.
I think, yeah, it does. It causes it. Whereas I think, and just the kind of the Nenor-ness of it, is quite relaxing in a way. You know that it's onto an emergency, but it's sort of like, nee-nor. It's quite relaxing in a way.
I wish we named our podcasts individually every week, because I think this one would be called the Nenor-ness of it.
The Nenor-ness of it. One more noise from the 80s, probably one of my favourites.
What'd you talking about, Woods?
Oh, yes. Oh, God, I can't remember his name. Gary Coleman?
Gary Coleman, I think his name was Different Strokes. All I need to hear is that.
What'd you talking about, Woods?
And I'm back to being seven again. Well, there we are. That's it for another Trev and Ben podcast. Before we go, as always, some recommendations for you. What have you got for us, Ben?
I've actually got a couple of recommendations, basically for you, from Big Jeff.
Oh, right. Well, based on last week's Beekeeper recommendation, which I haven't watched yet. I haven't got around to watching that one yet.
I think these will be right up your street. The first one is, I think you can find it on Apple TV, which you may not have.
No, I don't have it. But, you know, that's not to say I can't add this to a list to watch one day somewhere. Somehow.
Okay, it's a show called Masters of the Air. Have you heard of this?
No.
It's from the producers of Band of Brothers, which is interesting because my dad said it was a bit like Band of Brothers, but in the air, which is interesting. During World War II, airmen risked their lives with the 100th Bomb Group, a brotherhood forged by courage, loss, and triumph. He said you'd very much like that.
It does sound good. It does sound like my sort of thing.
I'm just looking at the trailer for it now. It looks really nicely shot as well. So it's... I think you'll love that one. And the other one he said was a BBC show called Kin.
Ooh, I've not heard of this. Kin.
Yes, it's about a drugs family in Dublin. He says it's extremely violent, but very, very good.
Okay.
I don't know much more about it than that, other than he said that unless you are well-versed with the Irish accent, you may need the subtitles on, because apparently the accents can get quite thick.
I watch a lot of things with subtitles on these days. I must
know, but that's just because your hearing's going.
No, it's not. It's not. It's because... I mean, this does sound like an old man thing to say, but people do fucking mumble these days. I do find it.
Your hearing's actors, going.
No, actors and actresses, mumble, there's mumbling. Speak up, for God's sake. What's wrong with you? I was watching something the other day, and they were so quiet. It was ridiculous. And it's one of the things I'm going to recommend. It was called Spaceman. It's on Netflix, right? It's got Adam Sandler in it and Kerry Mulligan. It's one of those films, although I'm recommending it, I couldn't work out whether it was really good or really shit. Because the story is 6 months into a solo mission, a lonely astronaut confronts the cracks in his marriage with the help of a mysterious creature he discovers on his ship. Now, this mysterious creature is a sort of arachnid-type character that talks to him. And at that point, you sort of think, I don't know whether this was good, I don't know whether this is real or in his imagination, but it's a good sci-fi film. But there were bits in that I had to turn the volume right up and put subtitles on because they were mumbling like nobody's business. I've got to speak properly.
I'm glad you enjoyed
it. I need to hear you at the back of the theatre.
But I've got to say, from your description of the plot, it sounds like absolute shite.
I mean, there are times, like when this spider thing's tucking into some chocolate pudding, you sort of think, hang on, what am I watching? Or is it peanut butter? I don't know what it is, but it's a very odd film, but quite enjoyable.
Well, Adam Sandler's always very good, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, it's not a comedy, so I was a bit thrown by that because I've only ever seen him in fairly ropey comedies. Not all of them ropey, but a lot of them. So I was a bit thrown by that, but it's not a comedy, but he is very good at it. Apparently, I was talking to a friend because this film was recommended to me by someone else, and he was saying to me that basically Adam Sandler's done a massive deal with Netflix. I think he's now the highest paid actor in Hollywood.
Really? I mean, I know he's probably got mega money, but I didn't know he was that well paid.
Apparently so. Wow. Apparently so.
Good for him.
Elsewhere, I'm going to recommend, I've been on a bit of a sci-fi journey this week. I rewatched a film that I gave up on a few years ago. A friend gave me Interstellar a few years ago, which was a big old movie, what, 5-6 years ago. And I remember starting to watch it and fucking hating it. Really hating it. And for years now, my mates were going, have you gone back to watch it yet, Trev? It's a bloody brilliant movie. And I was like, no, I hated it. Anyway, I decided this week I'd give in and I'd give it another go. I really enjoyed it. I don't know what I hated about it first time round. I don't know what got on my tits about it.
Maybe you were just in one of your moods.
I think I was. Because sometimes, you know, when you watch a film, it's like the other film, the other sci-fi one, which I do hate, and I've tried to watch it twice. It's called Gravity, and it won Oscars, and I cannot like that one.
I saw that. That's called Sandra Bullock and George Clooney, isn't it?
Yeah, I fucking hated it.
I think you're being very harsh. I mean, I don't really remember it, but I don't remember disliking it. It was okay. Oh,
I gave up on it, and I did give it another go because, again, I did think maybe I was in one of my moods. And I did it, and I gave up again. I just, it was the most cliched nonsense I'd ever seen. So anyway, Interstellar's not bad. But the other film I watched this week, which is on Sky Movies at the moment, is called Jewels. And it was one of those things I wasn't sure what this was going to be like, but I thought, give it a go. It's got Ben Kingsley in it. He plays this sort of elderly chap who lives a quiet life with his little routine in a small western Pennsylvanian town. But one day a UFO crashes into his garden and he befriends the alien who doesn't talk, but they eventually call it Jules. And you know my little phrase, it's a charming little movie?
Yes.
It's a charming little movie. I highly recommend it.
Since, I mean, you're going to tell me you've already seen it, I'm sure, but since you're on this sort of weird cosmic space trip you're on, if you haven't already seen it, Simon Pegg and Nick Frost, Paul, you will.
Oh,
really,
yeah, I've seen that. It's very good. Yes, it's great. Very good. So there we are. That's it for this week. Thank you very much for listening. Don't forget, you can get in touch with us anytime. We're at Trev and Ben on X, and we'll catch you again next week. Till then, stay safe, stay well, take it easy.
Bye.